Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world. Welcome back to DevelopPod. And this episode's theme is experimental teacher development. We have a slightly different take on things in this episode today, as we're focusing on teacher development within the field of young learners. I'm excited to welcome Jacob into the virtual studio, and I'm excited because this really is a grassroots tale of a developing teacher who is continuing to grow in expertise. He's currently working towards the Delta, which is a teaching qualification run by Cambridge, and he's talking here about the work he's doing as part of the Delta 2 module entitled Developing Professional Practice. Jacob is undertaking a kind of supported experiment within his Delta, and his particular focus is on TPRS, or TPR storytelling, as it's sometimes known. Well, without further ado, here's Jacob. Jacob, welcome to DevelopPod. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Could you please tell us a little bit about where you are and your teaching context?
Well, I'm in Taiwan. I've been here for 12 years. Just for the last year or so, I've been working at the British Council. Most of the lessons I've been teaching have been with young learners. They all speak Mandarin, so it's an EFL context. British Council has their own sort of proprietary lessons that they do, and that's what I've been doing mostly.
Okay, and what age are the children you're teaching?
Anywhere from 6 years old all the way up to teens. 16, I think, is the oldest kid I've been teaching.
And can you tell us a little bit about your background in terms of your teaching qualifications and what you're doing to continue your professional development, just so we can get a little more of an idea of where you are in your professional journey?
Sure. Well, I started out with a linguistics degree, and there's basically two things you can do with a linguistics degree. Get your master's and doctorate or do some teaching. So I started becoming interested in Taiwan based on people I met at school, and I found a company to bring me over that would get me a TESOL certificate and place me in school in Taiwan. And so that's where I got my start. Recently, I've just started doing the Delta. It's really opened my eyes to how big the world of, you know, TESOL and teaching foreign languages really is.
Great. And I believe as part of your Delta 2 module, you've been focusing on something called TPRS. Can you tell us what that is, Jacob?
Well, TPRS stands for Teaching Proficiency Through Reading and Storytelling, and it's very popular in the U.S. right now. It has its history in James Asher's TPR, Benjamin Bloom's Learning for Mastery, and Krashen's Input Hypothesis.
Great, okay. And can you give us an overview of what TPRS is?
Yeah, well, it's a methodology, and I know we're in a post-method era, but there are some things that I find valuable about it. So let me just walk you through the different steps of the methodology. The first step is the teacher introduces vocabularies and structures through translation, gestures, and personalized questions that they repeat. You might be familiar with the sort of levels of questions, like yes, no, either or, and open questions. Mm-hmm. And those are all used repetitively in a sort of circular motion called circling. Step two, the structures are used in telling a story, and the story is a collaborative thing. So very often you'll hear people talk about story asking, and this is the step that they're talking about, where the teacher asks for input and expands on the story based on collaboration with the students.
To build a story collaboratively.
Right, right. The idea is to have three locations. You introduce the character and their problem. They go to a second location, but they can't solve the problem there. And then they go to a third location and there's a resolution. Okay. And it's very simple, especially given that I think that this method is most helpful in really early learners of a language.
So let me summarize, if I may. So step one is introduction of language, where you establish meaning through questions, what you call circling. And step two is when you use those structures in the storytelling, or what you call story asking. After that, what's step three?
After that is where the reading part of TPRS comes in which the story is actually read. Now, this is usually done through class reading. in which students and the teachers read the story aloud. Now, teachers will use circling here also to reinforce the target language. There are other alternatives to this. You can incorporate free reading or do some shared reading, or depending on time constraints, you can even assign some reading as homework. But usually it's done as a class, together, collaboratively.
So what for you are the main features, the main hallmarks of TPRS?
One of the main things about TPRS that I really like is the idea of circling, but there are some other elements that are really nice. So, for example, slow speech. A lot of teachers, and I'm guilty of this as well, will speak too quickly to learning students. And I think that a focus on that, a practice, an actual practice of speaking slower, can be very beneficial to the students. I know some teachers who may not agree that speaking slow serves their students, but as a scaffold, especially for young children, I think it works really well. It's very explicit. So, Benjamin Bloom's Learning for Mastery, basically, they're asking for 100% comprehension in the story that's being told. So, everything has to be very explicit. Even the display of understanding in a student has to be explicit. So they say things like ooh and ah whenever you add elements to the story. So they actually like explicitly mark the new information as understood. There's another feature of TPRS that I didn't mention before, and it's that translation is allowed.
So, you use Mandarin in your class?
Yeah, I will, especially with the young ones. What I've found is using a little bit of Mandarin at the onset helps them understand that if they run into some problem, they can code switch. They're gonna have the confidence to know that I can understand what they need or what their problem is.
Code switching is coming very much back into vogue, as I'm sure you're aware, yeah.
Let's see what else. Full class involvement. No one is separated from the group unless there has to be an actor. And generally, the actors that you choose are the ones that are a bit more confident. So while you're telling the story, you give the role of the characters to a few actors and they act out the story, right? With their bodies
Is that
and that
where
sort of thing.
the total physical response comes in? Because as I understand, TPRS used to mean total physical response storytelling. So do the pupils, as you're telling the story, very much reflect what you're saying through their body movements, kinesthetically?
The sort of concept of embodiment of the story is very, very central to TPRS. And I honestly think it should be central to young learners in general. Just try it and see. You can just watch them get it. It's great.
Sounds like a lot of fun. In terms of your Delta Module 2, what kind of initial explorations have you had with TPRS?
Well, I'm doing my experimental practice on TPRS, so I've been researching it. Blaine Ray is the originator of the theory, so I have his book on it. And so I've been just sort of going through that skeleton, what he proposes. And it all seems to be pretty solid from what I understand in my, research for my background essays and stuff.
How do you think TPRS can potentially help your learners?
Okay, well, just recently I was practicing some elements of TPR in my classroom, the beginning young kids class. And I have a few students in there that are very smart, but they're very reticent to actually contribute individually. So I was doing circling questions through a phonics reader, right? And I was personalizing these questions to my students. So, can you fly in a plane, right? Something like that. And because of this circling process, I'm using a lot more input than I normally did. And I was speaking a lot more slowly. And I noticed that within a few repetitions of that, and them observing other students doing it, they were starting to do it as well. And to the point where they actually started to volunteer on their own to do some of the language as well. So it really is great for including all of your students, no matter what the level is. I mean, at the very basics with the yes/no questions, anyone can answer that kind of a question. And so they can all feel like they're contributing to the class.
Right. It sounds like it's got a lot of potential to bring in people who are a little bit left behind, a little shyer or more reticent. So, if one were to approach planning as a novice teacher or as a novice TPRS teacher, let's say, How could one approach a typical TPIS lesson? Give us an overview of the structure of TPIS.
Sure. So what a teacher wants to do first is keep the story structure in mind and plan out their story and choose the variables that they're going to circle around. So if I say John wants a purple cat, right? Well, one of the variables could be purple.
Why would John want a purple cat?
Oh, well, that's part of the fun of TPRS is you create interest by doing slightly unexpected things, right? So, a black cat, that's obvious, but it's also a little boring. But now John wants a purple, a plastic purple cat or something, right? And so you can choose the variables, and then these variables can be the adjectives, the nouns, the subject or the object, things like that. You choose what variables you want to focus on, and then you want to circle only around those variables. You don't want to circle everything, because otherwise you'll be there forever.
When you talk about circling, you're talking about
Of
repetition.
questions,
Right.
yeah, of the questions, the yes/no questions, the either or questions, or the open questions. You want to try to incorporate all of those, but if the open questions aren't working, fall back on the either ors. If the either or questions aren't working, follow up with the yes no's.
So let's go back to that example of the purple cat. Would the teacher ask something along the lines of what color cat
Right,
does he
right,
want?
right.
And
Yes.
if you don't get any response there, does he want a blue?
They can respond with black, white, and then the teacher can edit that to make it more interesting. You could say, like, no, black's easy, white's easy. How about purple? Let's make it a purple cat, right? Or a striped cat, or something interesting that can catch their attention.
Okay, so planning a lesson, you'd focus on the main elements.
And the story structure. So the story structure is location one, setting one, establish the character and the problem. Setting two is attempt to resolve the problem but fail. And setting three, succeed at resolving the problem. That's really the basic structure in the story asking part of TPRS.
So very much reflecting traditional storytelling, taking it down to its basics, presumably. What about planning of language? How methodically do you need to do that as a teacher? What language you're going to use and the language that you expect the pupils to use?
Generally, what's advised is to focus on three new items. They tend to be vocabulary or vocabulary structures. So it could be like chunks of language. It could be a particular grammatical structure, maybe an ED or something like that. But three, choose three, and really only focus on those three. So it's a very, very tightly focused lesson in terms of you're not teaching a lot of new structures. That's Krashen coming in. That's Krashen's input hypothesis and I++ and all of that.
So what advice would you give in terms of lesson planning?
There's a lot of blogs and things that have story structures and story skeletons already out there that I would recommend, Googling. Ben Slavik has a great blog about TPRS and how you can start teaching it in your class.
Fantastic. And can you choose traditional storybooks, or are they too difficult? You have to go back to more basic structure than that.
You always assume that the students know very little. But I've had success with teaching the young kids' beginner class that I was telling you about before. I've had some success with using and adapting the phonics readers. So in the phonics readers, each story has some set sound and some contact words and things that they recommend that you focus on. And so from that list, I will select some of those and circle around that as they're telling the story.
Great. Thank you. Very useful advice. In terms of your initial explorations into TPRS as part of your Delta 2 module, what initial thoughts do you have in terms of the success so far with that? What indications do you have of the experiment being fruitful or otherwise?
Well, like I was telling you before, I was using elements of the TPRS in my classroom just to practice before I did the full EP, experimental practice. And like the more reticent children after a few minutes of doing the circling, we're producing accurate sentences and showing their comprehension. So it really helps them, but it's also a great method, or a great approach for a not so experienced teacher, I think. It's pretty simple to get your head around. It's easy to plan circling questions, and that tight focus, I think, is very useful to a young teacher. So I think that it's really good for maybe teachers who haven't had the opportunity to develop yet. It's a great starting place to start seeing results
Sounds
in
like
their
it could be
teaching.
very reassuring in terms of a teacher's self-confidence, if you like, if they're beginning, if they have this tight structure.
It absolutely is. I mean, you could think of it as a scaffold
Right.
to teaching in the classroom.
And a
Yeah.
scaffold for the students, of course, as you've
As
already
well.
mentioned. Yes. To sum up, it sounds like it's useful for the students in terms of inclusivity, getting the students on board, perhaps with differentiation with different kinds of students as well, different personality types and different levels of confidence. But also, by the sounds of it encourages receptive skills as well as production, right? So,
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, TPRS, especially given the weight of Krashen's input hypothesis into the program, input is the most important thing. Production is not as important. If all you can do is get a kid to produce yes and no, as long as it's accurate, then that sign of comprehension is all that's necessary in order to move on.
Great, great. And what further explorations do you envisage with TPRS in your classroom into the future?
I think TPRS has helped me to understand how little an hour is, right? And how much you can conceivably do in an hour of a class. And I want to like give these kids all this stuff, but in order for them to receive it, like you said, the receptivity of TPRS has helped me realize, okay, I really need to think about focusing my aims and really narrowing down on specific language in each hour that I teach. It's been a tough lesson, but it's valuable.
Sounds fascinating. Allow me to rephrase what you said. You talked about narrowing down your aims, and I'm wondering if it may be rather narrowing down the aims for the students' objectives in terms of going back to Krashen and the amount and the type of comprehensible input that they can manage within 1 hour. So, seeing it from the student's perspective within this structure that you've adopted of TPRS, what is manageable in terms of comprehensible input for the students?
Right. And you can get that feedback almost instantly from doing the circle questioning from the students. So it's very responsive. The teacher can respond very quickly to what the students are getting or not getting.
Okay, let's round it up there. I think that's all we have time for. Good luck with the rest of your explorations into TPRS. Sounds
Oh,
fascinating.
thank you, Christian. Keep doing what you're doing. I love your podcast, and I'll keep listening.
Thanks, Jacob. That's very kind. And yeah, good luck with your ongoing work there and with your Delta.
Thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you so much. Take care. Well, I hope you'll agree it's very inspiring to hear the story of a very motivated and enterprising teacher like Jacob, who's continuing to experiment and develop within his classes. Personally, it makes me want to see a TPRS lesson in action, and you can certainly find those kind of videos online. Also, it makes me want a purple cat. If John wants one, then I want a purple cat too. Well, keep tuning in. Take care now. Bye.